It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio. The Lightning is on, the Lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it's Thursday morning, which means it is on the radio. Bill Moss here joining us this morning as we get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning. And Bill, before we start with the hard news, let's start by saying a wonderful happy birthday to your wife, Elizabeth Moss, and of course, one of our county leaders here as director, executive director of Interfaith Assistance Ministry. So, happy birthday, Elizabeth.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you're listening to your husband this morning.
She, very fortunately for me, came into this world today.
She did.
Just a few years ago, more than 21. And I hope she's listening, and happy birthday.
Yes, absolutely. Elizabeth. Have a great day, Elizabeth, and thank you for what you do for our community. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right.
And for the household.
And
for the pup-pups.
Exactly. There you go.
I didn't get to feed the pups, so please feed the pup-pups.
On your birthday, Elizabeth. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Bill, this is a news-packed version, again, of Hendersonville Lightning. So we've got a lot to cover this morning. So let's jump right in. Let's start with the big thing that happened this past Tuesday. So many people were there for the ribbon cutting for the new patent building at Blue Ridge Community College.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the turnout, because I was really impressed with the turnout for, I mean, you get your standard ribbon cutting, even in some of the big, like the Health Sciences Party Cancer Center building, and the schools and so forth. I think this beat all them.
Yeah.
Pretty weather.
Yeah.
They hit the lottery on the weather. It was not, you mentioned standing out in the sun. I was lucky to be in the shade. But really nice weather for turnout of counted several hundred people, I counted, from government, business, education, and the political arenas, gathered for many, many, many words of praise and compliments about the community college, really more about this is bricks and mortar, but what matters is what the community college does and what it will be able to do even better because of the flexibility of this space, the high tech of this space, the just how well it will be able to pivot, how versatile it will be in training, chiefly manufacturing training, is the thing.
Part of this building is a real commitment to the area workforce and the area manufacturing companies and businesses, because they want to train and they want to help support the manufacturers.
Yes, exactly. And people will recall the old, it's a little bit like Hendersonville High School is. It's a combined renovation and new construction, and renovation in the way, might add, renovation and demolition in a way you would not recognize the old patent if you walk into this new building. It's sensational. I don't know if you went inside.
I did.
I had to skedaddle because we were right on deadline for the print issue, but I got a little bit of a pre ribbon cutting tour with the very good new public relations gentleman, Benjamin Rickert, for BRCC. And I'll talk more about that, about some of the features inside, but spectacular.
Yeah, I remember walking through and at one point in time I said, I should probably be in the old section, in the old original. And then I looked around and I saw that I was. And I was like, oh, wow. But I had no idea that I was until I was able to look outside.
Yeah. It's almost unrecognizable. But funded by the Henderson County Board of Commissioners, which got a ton of over and over praise and gratitude from the many speakers we had on that day. And I was almost surprised that now we're used to Hendersonville High School, $60 million, a new courthouse, new construction, renovation, $127 million, that this came in at $23.4 million for this almost 80,000 square feet of new and renovated space. I thought, seems like a bargain.
It does.
For this
building.
But Van Owen Construction, once again, they have been working with the county on Hendersonville High School. They did do the Health Sciences Building. They did do Edneyville Elementary School, and they did this building as well. Really good construction partner. I don't know how, as good a quality as they are, they keep getting the low bid also each time. So at Blue Ridge Community College, Chip Gould told The Gathering, we aim to transform lives through the power of learning. And it's a pretty massive building, but it makes a great statement, and it states that they're preparing to train the workforce of tomorrow. Shows that commissioners, once again, are committed to the college by making this state-of-the-art facility come up out of the ground. And I like this, what he said. And the third is to our employers. You now have a workforce training center from which you can gain skilled and trained workers, and you can also send your current employees back for additional education. So, yeah, a really good event. As the county manager, John Mitchell, said, the community college is not good for its own sake. It's good because of what it does, and that is to, of course, to train people, and by training people, it keeps our manufacturing strong and makes us have new manufacturing and keeps the economy strong.
Yep, and continuing to change and continuing to improve as things are as things change, whether it be a local economy or whatever.
Yeah, and then one more, when we talk about manufacturing, when we talk about kids and older adults going to school there, maybe most of us won't necessarily see that all the time. But one thing I'm looking forward to is that I think a lot of us might see is a new auditorium.
Yeah.
The Stephen D. White Auditorium is you won't recognize the old Patton Auditorium, again, when you see this one. 105 seats. Acoustics are going to be really good. It's got, it has a nice green room. It has nice public space, restrooms, and lobby, and so forth. So I look forward to seeing going to that and seeing a performance in that hall, which is named for the former county manager that just retired last July 1st, because Steve White did do. He was very cooperative with the college under Dr. Laura Leatherwood and under Molly Parkhill as well.
Yeah.
And during his 15 years as county manager, was involved in more than $91 million worth of capital construction projects on the BRCC campus.
Absolutely. We're going to talk more about some construction later when we talk about the new parking deck, but let's stay on the front page here at first, and let's revisit the story about the bike park that is proposed to come over here towards the Green River area. It was going up for zoning, and now the headline says bike park is exempt from zoning.
Yeah, this is some pretty slick. Pretty slick land use lawyer and went into this.
Oh, yeah?
As it turns out, okay, what are we talking about? Dr. Dave Lamont, he's a physician and very enthusiastic and aggressive mountain bike enthusiast, we call him here, uh-huh. who developed Ride Canoga Bike Park, wants to make Ride Rock Creek. They're on 326-acre tract of forest land off of West Rock Creek Road.
Uh-huh.
There's a fork. You got your west, you got your east. This is off of west. I had to ride up there and look at it. Off of West Rock Creek Road, there in lovely Rock Creek and Green River. And this had stirred quite a bit of opposition. The room was full when the Zoning Board of Adjustment was going to take this up on June 29, and people were gathering and hoping to express their opinions about how this might be disruptive traffic-wise, noise-wise, and
right.
commotion-wise, tree cutting-wise, and so forth, there in the Rock Creek community in the Bob's Creek, which is sort of a suburb of Bob's Creek, which is sort of a suburb of Green River, there in southern Henderson County. Well, they didn't have that because the some neighbors that were trying to oppose it had just hired their attorney, Lucy Massagee, and so they were going to postpone it. Then the next day, Dr. Lamont's attorney, Brian Golden, laid out in this very detailed email to all the county officials, such as Matt Champion, the zoning administrator, and county attorney Russ Burrell, and the director of business and community development for the county that, turns out this land is in forestry management plan. Thus, it is a bona fide farm. Thus, we are going to have a bona fide activity of agritourism. Thus, under the state of North Carolina law, you can't. No zoning can regulate.
Wow.
Bona fide agritourism on a bona fide farm. So we're going to do this, but without some of the more commercialized activity, such as the RV park, the general store, the stage or amphitheater, which people feared was going to be the site of festival-like concerts with amplified music and amplified noise and so forth. So the county almost immediately, and neighbors have some questions about that, almost immediately conceded. They threw in the towel and they said, yep, you're right. It's a bona fide farm. We've confirmed it's under forestry management plan.
Yep.
It also has a present what's called a present use value tax exemption for a working farm or a revenue-producing farm,
okay,
growing trees, even if you have to grow them for 20, 30 years and then harvesting them and getting revenue.
But you're still...
That counts.
Okay.
That counts as farming. So they got exempt. There was one other point about it that's important, and that is people have been somewhat questioning the neutrality of the county in the treatment of this whole scenario. Why is that? Because the County Tourism Development Authority made a $71,000 grant for the bike park.
Uh-huh.
And we confirmed that. It's not a secret. We got our whole public records request granted. We talked to Michelle Owens, the TDA's executive director, who walked us through the whole process. This was very rigorously vetted by the TDA, our role is to understand what we can legally fund and to help guide them and make use of our dollars to help grow tourism in ways that are good for Henderson County. She told the Lightning that's the goal for everything we do, and this met that goal, and they think it will attract. And so I did ask, though, if he's scaling back the development to the degree that he now promises to scale back, was that still... Is it possible that you might relook at it? She said, well, we might relook at it, but still sounds like, as she said, from what you're describing what happened, it's still going to attract tourism and attract tourism dollars and, in other words, meet the goal of the tourism promoting grant process.
So basically their compromise for the bike park is no amphitheater, no RV park, no general store.
Exactly. And also, let me make one more. Also, no more, unless they go back to the county, which he can do, and he admits he might do sometimes, but go back to the county for a gathering, and Canoga has had this, that might attract, let's say, 1,000 riders. If it's more than 250, he has to go back for not a special use permit, but a permit for a gathering of that size. Any campground or any, even if you just have a farm like out at Deerfield and Mills River is an example of that. When they have their festivals out there that might attract 1,000 people, they have to go to the county and get a permit for it. It's not a rezoning. It's a one-time permit. And if he does this, let's say, 4 or 5 times a year, he'll have to do it for every time he has a large gathering, he'll have to go back and get that permit.
Okay, interesting. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Coming up, we're going to talk about the county $26 million budget, a little bit about the state budget, and we'll look at the parking deck that is coming and some of those costs. That's all coming up on Lightning Radio.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family-owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background, paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto, to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
Get ready to boogie on Main Street. The next Rhythm and Brews concert is Thursday, July 21st with Melt, playing highly energetic shows marked by dancing, funky horns, and jam sections that lead into catchy hooks. The fun starts at 5:30 with danceable indie fun from Pink Meds out of Asheville. Enjoy locally crafted drinks from the Beer and Wine Garden and food from local food trucks. Rhythm and Brews, a free, family-friendly event that takes place the third Thursday of each month till September on the south end of Main Street. For more information, downtownhendersonville.org.
Mike's on Main, the original Main Street breakfast spot, is open for business to serve you. Are you craving bacon and eggs, pancakes, sausage gravy and biscuits, a fluffy omelet, or maybe a breakfast sandwich or a hot, steamy bowl of oatmeal? Mike's on Main has it all. Mike's is also open for lunch, with favorites like BLTs, grilled pimento cheese, and their famous Reuben. Open Monday through Saturday. Hours vary, so please call ahead. Visit Mike's on Main at the corner of 3rd and Main. Indoor and outdoor seating available, weather permitting.
And we are back with Lightning Radio. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's go behind the headlines of this headline. It's the new county budget, which is just under $27 million, and is allowing some dollars for nonprofits, just like our city budget.
Correct. The new state budget, which... Oh, there was some mystery about this.
The state budget?
Oh, state or city. Yeah. Okay.
Whichever one. I knew we were talking about the is it the county budget that's the $26 million? Or is that the...
Well, the state budget has $26 million for Tennessee County projects. And there was some mystery about that as to whether Governor Roy Cooper was going to sign it.
Uh-huh.
And I had some intelligence from a source in Raleigh that I speak to from time to time that said, oh, no, he's going to veto it. And it was thought he might veto it because it didn't have Medicaid expansion in it. But he signed it day before yesterday, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
No, he signed it Tuesday. That is definitely. He signed it, and he said we're still working on Medicaid expansion, and he seemed to be signaling that he was somewhat optimistic about that part of it. So it's got $26 million, which is a pretty good chunk of change for
Western North Carolina
projects right around here. Correct.
Oh, okay.
It's not just Henderson County, but it is Henderson, Transylvania, Polk, and Buncombe counties. And so it increases funding for school safety activities. It has that recession fund, prepares the state to weather a potential recession. Sign 3.5% increase over the 2-year scope of the budget for state employees, which is a total of 6%. Increases salary of entry level teachers. And does this. What does it do locally? $1 million. Commissioners have to like this. $1 million to Henderson County, which the commissioners can use, quote, for public projects. It doesn't say that, is that for soccer fields? Is that for the VFW renovation? Is that for the Edneyville Clear Creek sewer plant? It doesn't say. So that's pretty much a blank check there. That'll be helpful.
Wow.
That might help for the soccer fields, for one thing, or any of these other projects I mentioned. $500,000 to Transylvania County for public projects. $500,000 in grants to First Contact Ministries for that opioid and drug rehab program. They've been bringing the total for that agency from the legislature over the last 2 years to $2 million. Hmm. $500,000 for Open Arms Pregnancy Center here in Hendersonville,
mm-hmm.
And another $500,000 for a different drug rehab operation, Marketing Association for Rehab Centers, which is a nonprofit in Fletcher, $300,000 to Conserving Carolina, $500,000 to Edneyville Volunteer Fire and Rescue for capital improvements or equipment, $500,000 to Mountain Area Pregnancy that's in Buncombe Services. Mm-hmm. And $4 million to Mountain Area Health Education Center for capital improvements or equipment over in Asheville.
Okay. All right. Well, just a reminder that it's nice for Raleigh to realize that North Carolina doesn't end just slightly west of Charlotte. It's nice to be recognized again.
Raleigh began to realize that.
Yep.
You may recall back in the year 2010.
Yep.
When control of the legislature flipped and a certain Tom Apodaca,
right.
The old bail bondsman from Hendersonville, became rules chairman, mm-hmm. second in command and about the third most powerful politician in Raleigh. When that happened in 2010, they began to notice that there was a place called Hendersonville.
Yes, they did.
And they might have to write him a check.
Mm-hmm. Let's stay on budget dollars. The city budget has come through, and just under $525,000 of the city budget is allocated to area nonprofits.
Yeah, the Lightning always likes to take a look at these one by one. This is on a little bit smaller scale from what the bullets that we just went over, but really interesting. We always think it's interesting. What does the Hendersonville City Council, what does the Henderson County Board of Commission, what does the Laurel Park Town Council or Flat Rock Council do in terms of just sort of out of the ordinary nuts and bolts of funding their own operations? Who do they give to and how much? I think, as we say on the website, headline to this story was who got what.
Uh-huh.
And among those that were funded are the Arts Council. I won't read all the amounts. Get your Lightning store. Go to HendersonvilleLightning.com for that. But the Arts Council of Henderson County, Blue Ridge Literacy Council, Boys and Girls Club, BRCCs, we've mentioned already in today's show, Educational Foundation, the Flat Rock Playhouse, a lot of coverage of that, asked for $14,000 and got $3,000. Of course, the Henderson County Education Foundation, Henderson County NAACP training, Henderson County medical training, NAACP medical training, and lots more. I won't cover all those. Again, read your Lightning. But let's cover fully funded requests, because this was actually a large amount. This was actually $400,000 of the $524,000 went to Agribusiness Henderson County, which is $5,000. Hands On, a children's gallery that has that new Walk of Fame museum,
uh-huh.
and a museum devoted to people of color and their contributions to the county. It got $42,000. Henderson County Economic Investment Fund, $50,000. That is a arm of the Henderson County Partnership for Economic Development, which also got a huge amount of praise and coverage at that BRCC dedication. That got $50,000. The partnership itself got $20,000. Henderson County Planning Department, $166,000. That is sort of a the city planning is in with the Henderson County, and Henderson County okay. Planning Department gives some services to the city planning department. Henderson County Rescue Squad, $15,000. Interfaith Assistance Ministry, happy birthday again, $30,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Merchants and Business Association, which, among other things, runs the Christmas parade
and the
very successful 4th of July
right.
parade.
Right.
And the Mills River Partnership, that's the organization of farmers and landowners that really protects our water quality
mm-hmm.
In the Mills River, which is where we get our water. That's $70,000.
Mm. Excellent. Thank you for covering that, Bill. Let's finish up and let's keep talking about budgets and costs. The parking deck. We had Brian Polly, assistant city manager, here last week to talk about what to expect in the next few weeks with these large sections coming in by crane and some of the closings. And you've got the full story here, and you've also got the story on some dollars and cents. So talk to us about that. Unpack that for us, Bill.
Yeah, exactly right. If you want the facts to be articulated Brian Polly is a good person to interview, and not that we knew this is a news release story, but it had we gave it a good ride because it has really a lot of good facts, not just about the parking deck and traffic, because traffic is going to be slowed or even stopped. It's going to be completely blocked on Fifth Avenue West, but it'll be slowed on Church Street as this crane. And we were talking before showtime about it's not there yet, but this story says that the crane is going to be assembled. The crane will go up on site, on the site, which people have seen now cleared with the buildings that they needed to clear, demolished, and removed. So the crane on site is going to unload these huge precast concrete sections, and it'll go up quickly.
Right.
As this story explains, because it's like what do you call that? Not Tinker Toys, but
oh,
erector set. It's like an erector set, you know, on site.
Yeah.
So those precast pieces will go one after another. That'll go up pretty quickly. And then, as the story explains, it will take a while. It will take a while for, even though the, here's this part. Exterior of the garage will appear complete later this summer. There are many more months of interior work before it will be functional and open to the public. So people will think, well, it's done. We'll be able to park there next week. No, you have to do all the inside stuff.
Right.
But here's a really important part. Okay, the parking garage, it's scheduled to open in January 2023, right?
Yep.
At which additional pieces of the comprehensive parking management plan will occur. That's city speak for parking.
Mm-hmm.
Parking meters are back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Parking on Main Street and on the avenues between Church and King Streets will no longer be free. The first hour of the parking in the parking garage will be free, followed by $1.50 an hour, up to $10 daily maximum. So you can see here, they're trying to direct economically parkers into the parking deck. Why do I say that? Because parking on Main Street and the avenues will be free for the first 30 minutes, fine, followed by a charge of $2 per hour.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to fund, and they are funding. It's an enterprise fund, just like your water bill is an enterprise fund, just like your garbage collection is an enterprise fund. What does that mean? That means that the revenue from parking is supposed to cover the debt service of the parking deck. That's
right.
The whole idea. Proposed rates for monthly parking permits are $60 for the 24/7 surface lots, $80 for, and this is interesting, $80 for covered levels of the parking garage, but only $25 for the top level where your car would be rained on. And it would be in the sun, but that's a pretty good break.
And in my conversation with Brian, also the city council still has to vote. They're going to vote in December, I guess, on some of the costs. Some of the
That's true.
Yeah.
That
could
change. Yeah, they have expressed from time to time a little bit of anxiety, I guess you might say, or hesitation about. What, you know, are they really going to green light this whole thing? I mean, they're going to install, like Brian said in that interview, you're going to see this. You'll see the parking kiosk. So parking is going to cost. It'll be some amount. But do they then say, oh, no, let's subsidize it with some property tax? Or that's fine. Let's make it $1 instead of $2. I don't think that'll happen.
Right.
I don't think they'll back off, because if they do, you're talking a property tax increase.
Because it's got to get paid for.
To cover this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, it's already up out of the ground. The debt service is not negotiable.
And you can start preparing for that now by getting the Park Mobile app. It's Park Mobile, all one word, Park Mobile app. Because right now you can use that app to park in like the Dogwood and Azalea parking lots. You can use that app currently. So that gives you some practice time for when you're going to have to use it to park anywhere downtown.
Yeah. And how does that work? Let's say you're at Shine, you're at Postera, you're at Hannah Flanagan, you're Never Blue, anywhere downtown, and you're having such a fine time that
you want to stay longer.
I only paid for an hour or 2 hours. I'm going to have to get more time, and you can do that right on your smartphone.
Exactly, right there from sitting at the restaurant table.
You don't have to get up to where you're sitting there.
Yeah. Right, and there's no walking to a kiosk, no walking to a kiosk, getting a ticket, taking it back, and putting it on your dashboard. None of that.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, we're all going to have to become more savvy at that.
Sure.
Yeah. In order to park downtown, I don't think it'll. I mean, people. There'll be some local people that say. They're going to say, I've never paid to park downtown, but that's not true. We used to have parking meters.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure we bring that up
when
for people who are newer. I remember them.
We covered all that when we did the project on the Serpentine Street, that there used to be parking meters, and there'll be parking meters again.
They're coming back.
This time next year, they'll be there.
Just a more updated version. Bill, there is still so much more in this week's Lightning that we had not had the time to cover, so people need to pick up their copy and get to know what's going on in our community. How do they do that, Bill?
Well, unlike a couple weeks ago when we said go out in your raincoat
right.
and put on your flippers because we were in a big rain time, and last week when it was hot and muggy, go out today in the fall-like, lovely weather this morning. Did you notice that?
I sure did.
And visit any of the Lightning Orange racks all around the county or our dealer partnerships, such as convenience stores and coffee shops, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe in order to join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or also fun and so very easy. Call Jan at 698-0407.
And once again, happy birthday to Elizabeth Moss. And speaking of our interview with Brian Polly regarding the parking deck, you can hear that entire interview by going to our website, WTZQ.com.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.